What is up, podcast people? Welcome to another day, another episode, Loving Life. Hopefully you guys are just doing absolutely amazing. Got the pod squad in the house or on the couch, if you will. My name is Josh. Nice to meet you. And we got Kayla. Kayla, how you feeling today?
I'm good.
Care to elaborate on good?
It's just good.
It's just a good day. What made it a good day so far?
Next question.
It's actually kind of humid today because it rained last night. It's like hot and humid today.
It's at not least it's a good... not freezing. If I need a jacket to walk outside, I don't want to go outside.
Would you rather be really cold or hot and humid?
Hot and humid.
What? Mm-hmm. For all the people listening right now, please vote in your mind. Would you rather be really cold or hot and humid?
Hot and
give
humid.
Me the cold all day.
No.
Because hot and humid is just like sticky sweat all over your body, and it's disgusting.
Yeah.
Oh, God bless
and
you.
And then you're tan.
God bless you. Today we are talking about, what are we talking about today?
How to talk to Jesus.
How to talk to Jesus. I can't even see your face because the microphone's right on it. This way. Okay, look, now I can have a conversation with you. How to talk to Jesus. Okay. Do you want the plain and simple answer or do you want the elaborate answer?
Let's go both.
Plain and simple answer, how to talk to Jesus.
Just do it.
You talk to him.
Yeah, I knew who was going to say that.
There you go.
Elaborate then.
All right. What aspects do you think need to be elaborated on with how to talk to Jesus?
I feel like people get confused of like, am I supposed to talk to Jesus, talk to God? Is talking praying?
Mm-hmm.
Answer those.
Is talking to Jesus, talking to God? Yes. When you're talking to Jesus, you're talking to God. Now there's a lot of a lot of confusion on like, hey, if I'm praying, am I praying to Jesus? Am I praying to God? Am I praying to the Holy Spirit? Because when Jesus instructs us on how to pray,
yeah.
Right, in the Lord's Prayer, Matthew chapter 5 and 6, I believe chapter 6,
mm-hmm.
He starts it with this, hey, our Father. So Jesus, the Son, who is also God, is praying to the Father. But then Jesus also instructs us in the book of John. So he says, when you pray, pray in my name. Or when you ask for things, ask for things in my name, referring to Jesus. So he's praying to the Father in the name of Jesus, but then we as humans, because we're not God, we need a vehicle, if you will, to get there. So when we pray, we're praying to the Father in the name of Jesus via the Holy Spirit,
mm-hmm.
who kind of connects it all, because the Spirit is inside of us, but the Spirit is also God.
There's a video that I watched, and it was like, just pick one. They have the same mailing address, and I died.
This is true. So yes, when you're praying to Jesus, you are praying to God, because Jesus is God in the form of flesh, in the form of his Son. And what was the other aspect? Is praying talking.
Oh, yeah.
When you pray, are you talking to God? Yes. Like, prayer is just a church term, a Bible term for communicating with God.
Mm-hmm.
Setting time apart to be intentional to say, hey, I'm going to shut off all distractions to talk to God.
Okay, but that part though, like the separation of just talking and then prayer, like you touched base on.
Same thing.
But you touched base on the intentionality of it though. Go deeper into like the intentionality.
The intentionality, like you can label it as anything you want. Mm-hmm. I'm communicating to God, praying to God, talking to God, having a conversation with God. Use whatever label you want to word it.
Mm-hmm.
As long as under that label, you are setting apart some type of moment to get rid of distractions. As Jesus said, when you pray, shut your door, to remove distractions, to communicate with him, to have intentional time to spend with him. That could be in the car, on the highway. Hey, I'm going to turn off the radio really quick to just have a moment of clarity to speak to God. Like, whatever label of wording you want to use, talking, communicating, praying, communing, whatever label you want to use, as long as you are setting apart intentional time to seek him.
And so what would that time look like? Like, what would you say, what do you talk to God about? You just sit there, hang out with them?
Whatever you want.
Yeah.
I think with praying, with how to talk to Jesus, all of this is overcomplicated.
Yeah.
We as Christians overcomplicate the mess out of this in a way that now discourages us from doing it. Like, hey, because I don't know how to quote unquote talk to Jesus, do I have to pray? Do I have to get on my knees? Do I have to turn my light on, turn the light off? Do I have to shut the closet? Do I have to worship music in the background? Do I have to light a candle? Do I have to go to Starbucks and get a coffee first? Like, we overcomplicate all of it.
Mm-hmm.
When if we just go back, like if you told an 8-year-old, Hey, 8-year-old that goes to church, I want you to talk to Jesus. How is that 8-year-old going to go and talk to Jesus? They're going to go into the room, they're going to sit on their bed, and they're going to smile and say, hey, God, this is how my day went. I did this and I did that. And they're going to take it simply like that. They're not going to overcomplicate it. Mm-hmm. And then when Jesus refers to, hey, you got to have faith like a child, and some of these aspects with Christianity, stop overcomplicating it and have faith like a child. Like, stop overthinking it and just take it for what it is. If you pray to Jesus and talk to Jesus, think of like an 8-year-old. Hey, I'm just going to sit in my bed and talk to Jesus. Mm-hmm. And what I mean by that is, like, words are coming out of your mouth and you are talking to somebody you do not physically see in front of you, but by faith you believe he is there.
Yeah. And I feel like sometimes we get scared to, like, bring up certain things in prayer. Mm-hmm. But it's like, he already knows. Like, just say it.
Yes. You can pray for it. He says, ask for whatever you want. You can seek, you can knock, you can, you have 24/7 access to him. You can cast all your worries and anxieties on him. And he already knows, bro.
You're
not going to be like, hey, God, I want to talk about
these
9 things.
You're not going to throw him off guard, yeah. You're not going to catch him off guard.
He knows,
on that one.
Right? So then you bring up the conversation. If God already knows what we're going to ask for or what we need, what is the purpose of prayer?
Yeah. Let's ask. Ask and you shall receive.
Yeah. But if he already, like, going back to Matthew 6, he says, your Father already knows what you need before you even ask. So then pray like this. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be thy name. So if your Father already knows what you need before you even ask him, what is the point of asking? It is for us to humble ourselves, right? God, you already know what I'm going to ask for. You already know what I'm going to pray before I even pray it. But I'm going to humble myself to seek you as a higher authority, to seek you as somebody I need to draw close to, that I'm now going to trust your way. So I'm going to humble myself, surrender myself, and go to you, even though you already know what I'm going to you about. So there's an aspect of humility there and surrender.
Well, that, and like, it gives you the opportunity of repentance, because if God already knows our sin and he knows that we're sinning on this routine basis or whatever it is, if there's a different moment when you need to come to him and you need to admit it by voice and not by thought.
Yeah.
And I feel like that is a whole world of a difference.
Yeah.
And I think that is a true blessing, that we do get the opportunity to repent of our sins and voice to our Lord, because it brings it to us, like saying it out loud or like speaking it to somebody, but in that safe space of love that you know that is going to come with like grace and mercy in that area. But when it comes to that, like, I feel like when people pray, or even me sometimes, like, you're very like, you'll ask, but then you're like, all right, there's my prayer time, got to go to work. And it's like, you don't leave that time for response.
Yeah, for sure.
It's like if I went up to Josh and I was like, hey, Josh, like, can you help me answer this question? The second he went to go answer that question, I like shut the door and I ran away from him.
Yeah.
And then I feel like we do that a lot within like how we talk with God or Jesus, is like we do a lot of talking.
Yeah.
But do we do any like listening or like any response time with it?
Yeah, for sure. That's part of praying and communicating and talking, is that you got to wait on a response. You got to, and this can look, the practicality of this can look like spontaneous moments throughout your day. Like you wake up in the morning, you hit your Devo, your quiet time, you're praying, you're reading the word, and then on your way to work, hey, I'm going to continue to think through those thoughts. I'm going to continue to talk to God. I'm going to pray. I'm going to think through thoughts in my mind. This is, I think God speaks to us a lot more than we think through our thoughts, which is why there's an importance of having a pure mind, renewing your mind. So kind of throughout those days, you have that random thought on your way to work, on your way home. It's like, oh my gosh, that makes sense. That correlated to the quiet time. Or hey, I prayed this in the morning seeking God, and now on my way home from work or I'm at the gym, this random thought came out of nowhere. But it's like, hey, God may be speaking to you in those moments, and he's speaking to you a lot more than you think he is speaking to you. Mm-hmm. You just got to take a moment to listen and to pause, for sure.
What would you say, like, some examples of that you've personally like witnessed?
Some examples that of God speaking to me.
Yeah.
The most clear, I mean, through his word. I was an example of when he speaks, he has spoken to me through his word. First, when I say the word, the Bible. The Bible is living, it's active, it's the word of God. God is always speaking to us through the Bible, through his word. In a specific time, this was 3 years ago. Looking at some different job opportunities, full-time job opportunities with different nonprofits, different organizations here at the church. And I'm kind of weighing out, there's 3 different options, weighing out the pros and cons of each one. Which one, this one paid more, this job had this pro, this one had this con, this one gave more money, better benefits here. Like weighing out each different job opportunity. And I was reading through the word. I'm like, okay, God, like I need an answer. Like deadline is coming. I got to give an answer to somebody. Like, the job offers came in. I got to answer something. And just had this thought of like, read Jonah, like read the story of Jonah, like for like a week, just had that random thought of read the story of Jonah, read the story of Jonah, read the story of Jonah. I'm like, God, I'm asking you for like, which job should I take? Why are you telling me to read Jonah? Like, which job should I take? Like, what does Jonah have to do with any of this? Like, I knew, and me personally, like growing up in church, I knew the story of Jonah. I'm like, what does a dude getting swallowed up by a whale, getting spit out of Nineveh have to do with any job I'm going to take? Like, this has like, and just overshot it because I knew the story, quote unquote. So I'm like, okay, whatever. I'm going to read Jonah. And me, with these three different job options, I had the fear of like, one is right, two are wrong, right? Like, if I choose one job and the other two are wrong, God's not going to bless it. God's not going to be in it. So I'm reading the story of Jonah. If you guys don't know the story of Jonah, God calls him to go to Nineveh. Jonah doesn't want to go to Nineveh. Then he gets on this boat, big storm. They throw him off the boat. Big fish comes up, swallows him up, spits him up at Nineveh. But throughout all this, the beginning part of the story of Jonah, I'm reading it. God is speaking through his word. I'm reading it. And I see that Jonah, a piece of the story that I missed is that while Jonah, he gets on the boat trying to run from God, and big storm happens, people are freaking out. And then Jonah's like, hey, you got to throw me off the boat. And in the middle of all that, the people on the boat repented out of fear of the Lord because they saw this big storm happen. Then they throw Jonah off. They just throw a stranger off the boat. And then magically the storm just stops happening. So out of fear of the Lord, these guys now draw closer to God. So me, correlating to me, is like, hey, I had these three job opportunities, and no matter which one I take, it's going to be used for good in some way, shape, or form. Mm-hmm. Like even Jonah in his process of going the wrong direction, people still drew closer to God because of that. So that gave me a little reassurance, like, okay, I read Jonah, this makes sense now. If I choose option A, B, or C, God, you can still use it for you're good. And then I kept reading. Then I ended up going to John chapter 10, where Jesus talks about being the good shepherd. And this gave me like the answer that I needed. Yeah. So again, God speaking through his word. He talks about Jesus talking about being the great shepherd, and we are his sheep. And he talks about how the sheep will not follow a hired hand. So when the wolves come for the sheep, the hired hand will flee, but is a shepherd who stays and protects the sheep. So then I asked myself, like, okay, which one would I be a hired hand in, and which one would I be a shepherd? Like, out of these options, A, B, or C, which one would I be a hired hand, or I would feel like I would be a hired hand, and which one would I be a shepherd? Because I want to be a shepherd that would not flee, but would protect the sheep. And that's where I ended up pursuing that path, which is the one I could be a shepherd in. So praying to God, like, hey, God, which one should I do? Like, God, speak to me. God, speak to me. Jesus, I'm talking to you. And he's like, go to Jonah, like, through his word, through his Bible. Like, okay, there came some reassurance and confidence in reading the story of Jonah that I can't mess it up. Like, I'm not going to choose option A and then God, punish me for not choosing B or C. Mm-hmm. But then also now narrowing that road of saying, okay, I have this calling in my life. Which one can I be a shepherd and not a hired hand? And then pursuing that option. So God speaking through his word in those moments to me has been a time he's spoken through his word.
That's really good. Talking about like being rooted in scripture, that I remember like when I was like new into my faith, I wrote down, it was, God sounds like his word. Because people are like, what does God sound like? And it sounds like the word that he wrote. And 100%, so you like talking about how that scripture led you that way. I feel like a big part of us, like when we're praying and we're trying to talk to God, there's a part of us that needs to uphold that root in scripture. Mm-hmm. So then you understand and you have the discernment of like what is truly coming from God.
Yep.
Because you wouldn't have been able to make it through that kind of thought process without knowing, go to that passage, read through that.
Yep.
And then from there, use that guidance. And so I feel like if anybody's ever asking themselves, like, is it from God? It's like, his word is written already. Yeah. Like, go to that word.
Fact check it with the word.
Yeah, it's already written. He sounds like that.
Yeah.
And if it doesn't sound like that, it's not it, not you know? Yeah. So I think that's a really good part. And then so going back now to the praying part though, and you went a little bit over like the Lord's Prayer.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of times in our prayer, we're asking.
Mm-hmm.
And so what would you say, not prayer should be like, but points that you want to, like when you look at the Lord's Prayer, there's ask, like a bunch of different things within it.
And this is where we overcomplicate some of it. Like if we're asking, how do I pray? What do I do? Man, if we just go back to the Bible for a second, the disciples were asking Jesus the same exact question. Jesus, how do I do this? Jesus, how do I talk to you? Jesus, how do I pray? And then he gives us the answer right there. He's like, hey, if you want to know how to pray, you want to know how to talk to Jesus, this is what you do. Don't overcomplicate it, right? Jesus gave us the answer, and we try to overcomplicate, man, how do I pray? Are there specific things? Can I get it wrong? Can I get it right? Do I do this? Do I do that? He's like, time out, guys. Rewind a little bit. I gave you the answer. You want to know
this, like, soft, angelic voice of, like, beautiful, elongated prayer.
Like, the disciples. Well, first, Jesus talks about, so, common question, is there a wrong way to pray? The word would allude to the answer of yes, because when Jesus describes how to pray, he tells you what not to do. So if you are doing those things, you may be praying the wrong way. He says, when you pray, you must not be like the hypocrites, for when they stand and pray on the synagogues and at the street corners, they may be seen by others. So when you pray, don't do it for attention, to be seen by others. Truly, I tell you, they have received the reward. But when you pray, go into your room and shut the door, for your Father who is in secret, and your Father who sees you in secret will reward you. So then pray like this. He says, don't heap up empty phrases. So now don't just say words that sound fancy and sound cool and heaped up empty phrases to sound like a Christian. You have no idea what they mean, right? So he says, don't do it for attention like a hypocrite. Don't do it just to heap up empty phrases to look cool, because these are the Pharisees he's talking to, and the Pharisees would stand on in the synagogues and the street corners and heap up these phrases and recite scripture. Half the time didn't even know what they were saying. And he says, don't be like them, for your Father already knows what you need before you ask. So then he's like, hey, so when you pray, pray then like this. Here's the roadmap. If you are listening right now and you want to know how to pray, Jesus told you right here, word for word, this is what you do. And then he gives us the Lord's Prayer, and there's two aspects of the Lord's Prayer. Yes, it's good to recite it word for word, but then when you break down praying through the Lord's Prayer, you see a little bit more, right? He starts out with, our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. So he takes a moment to pause. Hey, God, you are in heaven. Holy to your name. Hallowed be your name. You are worthy. You are greater than I. You are my Lord. You are my Savior. So he takes a moment to reverend God, to have a holy moment with God. Hey, you're my Father and in heaven. Let your kingdom come and your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. God, let your kingdom come over mine, your will over my way. If there's anything my day that I'm going to do today that doesn't align with you and it is selfish ambition, God, let your kingdom come here on earth as it is in heaven. Your will over my way. Give us this day our daily bread, God. Give us this day to provide for me. Like, hey, or if you already have your daily bread, quote unquote, if you already have the providence of God, you have food on the table, you have a house to sleep in, you have relationships to show gratitude for, God, thank you for giving me my daily bread today. Like, I appreciate that. God, give him gratitude. And he says, forgive us of our debts as we have also forgiven our debtors. God, forgive me of the ones that I have grudges against. Like, help me forgive those people. And God, also, would you forgive me of my sins? So it was a moment of confession, a moment of forgiveness. God, help forgive me while I'll forgive others. And then lead me not into temptation, but deliver me from evil. Like, throughout this whole Lord's Prayer, Jesus gives you the roadmap. And then when you kind of look at those verbiage in it, you can dissect something bigger than it. That it's not just this word-for-word thing, but, hey, lead me not into temptation today. God, if I'm tempted with my phone or on Instagram and I'm tempted to look at things I shouldn't or spend money in ways I shouldn't, God, lead me not into temptation today. Deliver me from evil. Like, this is the prayer he taught us how to pray. And don't overcomplicate it in a nice way. And is it okay to not pray that specifically? For sure, right? You can pray for whatever you want. It is not a sin to not pray the Lord's Prayer. And at the same time, you may be confusing yourself and overcomplicating it by not praying the Lord's Prayer.
Yeah. And I think understanding, like, the heart posture around it too, those, like, when we're asking and asking and asking, just also take that moment to think.
Yeah.
Just as much as you ask.
That's how he starts the prayer. Yeah. Like, our Father in heaven.
Yeah.
Hallowed be your name. Like, worthy to your name. Like, just take a moment to pause and reflect on him before you go in and asking for things. Mm-hmm. Like, it's a big piece for sure.
That, and then so, like, also everyone's like, oh, do I do it in the morning? Do I do it at night? Is it too often? Do I, am I condemned if I do it once a day?
Yeah.
Like, what is our timeline of prayer? Like,
timeline of prayer? What Jesus modeled, right, is that he spent intentional time to leave the people he was with, mm-hmm. to go seek the Father. Like, he left his disciples to go pray in moments. Throughout the night, he was praying. And so that's what Jesus modeled, and I think that's what we should all strive for, is that to set apart intentional time to leave the environment we are in, mm-hmm. to go seek him. Leave your community group and go shut the door in your closet. Hey, leave your family for a minute, hop in your car and go to a quiet field or sit in a parking lot. Like, leave that distracting environment you're in to seek him. So there's that aspect of like, hey, I'm going to set apart intentional time. And this could look like, man, I would sometimes, for me, I'll go to Max Patch. I'll go to just random mountain trips, man, random parkway trips to like, mm-hmm. hey, like, I can tell my life is out of order. I need to hit the pause button. Let me set apart time to go seek him. Let me go sit in a parking mm-hmm. lot for 30 minutes. Let me go to a mountain and just sit on a mountain for 30 minutes and observe nature. And then practically throughout that day, man, I always tell people, like, I'm praying 24/7. And I say that not in an arrogant way, but like, for example, we're planning a huge outreach event right now. I absolutely have no idea how these details are going to come together. And I'm meeting with a ministry leader this morning, about to go meet with one in this afternoon. I'm like, I'm praying, going in my car. Like, God, I have absolutely no idea what I'm going to say. They're going to ask questions I don't have answers to. God, like, what are the, show me mm-hmm. the road, show me the way. And this is just thoughts I'm having throughout the day. Like, I'm not like in a quiet room, like, hum thee, Lord Jesus, give me thy answers today. Speak to me, Lord. Like, I don't want to get that misconception. Like, yeah. It's practically like I'm walking downstairs to get a coffee and I'm having these thoughts of, okay, God, like, this just happened. What's the way? Show yeah. me, guide me, lead me. And it's just, and I think it's through our thoughts, and it's more mental a lot more than it may be verbal. Mm-hmm. I think we always correlate praying with verbal words.
Mm-hmm.
And we discredit how much the mental aspect it is. God speaks way more through your thoughts than you may think. Now, can God speak audibly and he just come down like a pillar of fire and cloud? 100%. He's done it before. He can do it again. He can speak through other people. He can speak through the worship song on the radio. He can speak through a billboard. Like, God can speak through whatever he wants. And I think he speaks through a lot more in your thought life than you think.
Mm-hmm.
Like, just those random thoughts of, hey, I should probably pray for that person. Hey, I should just follow up and text that person. Hey, I should just ask them how they're doing. Like, just those thoughts could be God speaking to you to be like, hey, bro, you should probably do this.
Mm-hmm. And the next thing is to act on it.
And then do it, right?
Do it.
This is a great, man, this is a good example. At QT, this was maybe a year ago. I can't remember when. I'm at QT. And going to Planet Fitness.
Always at QT.
I love a QT donut. If QT, if you could sponsor us with your donuts, that'd be great.
That they never have, but continue.
This is true. We've gone like twice on a Sunday afternoon and they haven't had donuts. We forgive you, QT. I'm going to QT before the gym and I'm standing in front because I got like a Snicker bar and a Bang, just what you need before going to the gym, right? And the person in front of me, I have this thought in my head. This comes up. This person's going to put $10 worth of gas in their car. You, as in Josh, need to put in like another 20 to give them gas in their car. And I just had that random thought. Like, I'm standing in the QT line with a Bang and a Snickers, and I had this thought of the person in front of you is going to pay $10 to put in their gas tank. Josh, you need to put an extra $20 in for them. And sure enough, this person says, hey, can I get $10 on tank two? I can't remember what tank it was, but it was specifically $10. Mm-hmm. It's like, hey, can I get $10 on whatever tank it is? I'm like, wait, what? Like, I do a double take. I'm like, surely that was just a coincidence, right? Surely that was just a coincidence. So I ignore it. I don't be obedient. Like, I was like, man, God, like, should I have acted out and blessed that person? So I ignore it. I don't do it. Pay for my Snicker bar and my Bang. And then I start to walk to my car. Totally different stranger comes up to me and says, hey, do you have any gas money? Like, I don't have any gas money on my tank. Can you just come up?
I'm going to give you a second chance to fix
pretty much. And in that moment, I'm like, okay, God, like, I hear you. I'm going to go pay for this person's gas. And then I end up putting more money than $20 in. I ended up paying like $38 to give this person a full tank. But I think it's through those thoughts, right? When you mm-hmm. have that thought, act on it. Like, mm-hmm. go do it. It's a lot more simpler than you think.
Mm-hmm.
Like, hey, go pay for this person's gas. You're standing at Walmart. You might need to pay for that person's groceries behind you. You might just need to tell somebody, hey, I like your sneakers. They look cool. Hey, I like your sweatshirt. That could make them smile that day. Like, you mm-hmm. have no idea. And I think when we act on those thoughts and we act and continue to act on those thoughts, you are now developing almost a, not a repertoire, but a acknowledgement or recognition of what God sounds like.
Mm-hmm.
Like when you become obedient and listen to those smaller thoughts of like, hey, tell that person you like their shoes. Like, it might bless their day. Hey, pray for that person. Hey, send this person that text. Hey, follow up with this person you haven't seen at church in a month, right? Mm-hmm. Those little small thoughts, when you become obedient to those and start to listen to it, you start to recognize God's voice a little bit more. Like, hey, God, wait, no, that thought does align with your word, right? Fact checking it with the Bible. Hey, praying for people kind of aligns with his word. Hey, blessing people kind of aligns with his word. And you start to develop that. You start to become a sheep who knows your shepherd's voice. John 10, mm-hmm. right? Sorry, got on a big rant. I got excited about that.
So piece of advice, wrapping it up, talking to Jesus.
A piece of advice to wrap it up, talking to Jesus. Just talk to him and don't overcomplicate it.
Mm-hmm.
Be a child, right? Imagine being an eight-year-old talking to Jesus. You would sit on your bed, you'd have your coloring book, and you just tell him about your day.
Write your prayers in crayon.
Write your prayers in crayon. Uh-oh, we might be fighting. Crayon or crayon?
Crayon.
Crayon? Pass the crane? Crayon. That's a different debate for a different day. But to sum it up, talking to Jesus, just talk to him, right? And if you need a roadmap on how to pray, please don't overcomplicate it.
Mm-hmm.
And just pray the way Jesus showed you. Like, Jesus is God. Like, he probably knows what he's talking about when he gives us instructions. And I think we as the church have overcomplicated so many aspects. And I think we as young adults, when we get older in age, we overcomplicate more because we're more curious, right? We have questions. Hey, why this word? Why our Father and not our Holy Father? Why pray in the name of Jesus and not the Son of God? Like, we have more questions to explore. And then sometimes we just need to rewind and be like, hey, let me just be like a child in this moment.
Mm-hmm.
Let me just pray like a child. And so that's what I would say. Listen, don't discredit the thought, right? Renew your mind, purify your mind. Don't discredit God speaking through your thoughts. Act on those thoughts if it aligns with his word. Let God speak through his word. That means you have to actually read the Bible to know what it says. Like, I'm going to blow your mind here. Oh, here it is. I'm about to blow your mind right here. You know what makes prayer work?
What?
Like, to make prayer actually work in your life, you have to actually pray. I'm going to blow your mind with that. In order for prayer to work, you have to actually pray. Don't complain that God is not speaking to you if you are not praying. I think I see that a lot. I kid you not. Like, I have specific people in my mind right now that complain, God never speaks to me. He just, you know, I just don't understand. I'm like, are you praying? No. I'm like, well, that's probably a good place to start then. For prayer to work, you got to actually pray. All right, sorry. That's the end of my rant there.
Well, that was great, everybody.
Well, appreciate you guys hopping on. How to talk to Jesus. Just talk to him. Do it. Pray. Don't overcomplicate it. And be like a child and use crayons. Amen. Peace, love, and happiness. We will catch you guys on the next episode. Welcome to the Stranded Podcast. Our desire is to help you not be stranded. When you navigate life, you have many decisions you need to make to set yourself up for the best life possible. We want to help you make every decision by looking through the lens of the Word of God. So each episode here is going to help you not be stranded to navigate your life.